Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephen Flanagan, the Senior Vice President and Director of the International Security Program here at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today for this conversation with Admiral Takashi Saito, the Chief of Staff of the Joint Staff of the Japanese Self-Defense Forces. This conversation will be led by, first of all, our distinguished CSIS trustee, former Deputy Secretary of State and President of Armitage International, Richard Armitage, and Dr. John Hamray, former Deputy Secretary of Defense and President and CEO here at CSIS. We will have a discussion going through a number of questions that we know are on the minds of many in the audience, and certainly we want to have a good, frank discussion and an open dialogue rather than sort of a set presentation here today. So we will lead Admiral Saito, my colleagues will lead Admiral Saito through several of these questions, and then we'll open the floor also for some questions that we have received from you in the audience. Let me just say a brief word of introduction. You have his full bio here, but Admiral Saito graduated from the National Defense Academy in 1970. He joined the Maritime Self-Defense Forces at that time. His operational assignments have included commander of Escort Division 22 and also commandant of the Maizuri and the Yokosuka naval districts. In staff assignments, he has been head of plans and program division in the Maritime Security Organization and also director of operations and plans department. He, before assuming his current assignment as chief of staff of the joint staff, he served as Chief of Staff of the Maritime Self-Defense Forces for over 18 months. So it's a pleasure to welcome Admiral Saito today to this forum, and we look forward to a very rich and thorough discussion. Thank you. I'll turn the floor now over to Dr. Hamray.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Welcome, all of you. We're delighted that you're here. I especially want to thank Admiral Saito for joining us. I had the privilege of having dinner with him in Tokyo in December, and I said, Admiral, I want you to come and speak to the Washington policy community. And I think he lost his appetite at that moment, and he thought, oh, gosh, this isn't something I want to do. But we prevailed on the good Admiral, and I will also tell you at the time we met, it was before the government had recommitted to the naval deployments in the Indian Ocean. And so it was a very difficult time, and the Admiral rightly said, I can't do anything like that now. I mean, this is a very sensitive time for the Japanese Self-Defense Force, and of course you'll just have to respect that, and I said, I will, but the moment you send them back, we're going to call you. And thankfully, he came to visit Admiral Mullen and agreed to join us today. So we're very grateful to have him here. This is a very unusual thing. It's the first time that I've been at CSIS, that the Chief of Defense for Japan has been willing to do this. So I want to thank you, Admiral. I also want to say thank you to my very good friend, my mentor, Rich Armitage. I have stood in awe of his wisdom on especially things Asia. We were so fortunate in this administration to have had his leadership, and we call on him now today to also help us to think through this. We're going to turn this into a bit of a dialogue as we can, but I would like to begin, if I may, Admiral, to give us your sense of the security situation now in East Asia. I mean, this is something that the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is to get a report. And how do you view the security situation and, right now?
Before I answer the question, I just thought to myself that it was having too much sake in Tokyo with Dr. Hamray that got me into this here in Washington.
Now, セリンスキーに述べたいと思います。
I'd like to tell you a bit about how I see the situation in East Asia in terms of security.
この地域は QDR に示されましたようにその 4類型ですね、いわゆる伝統型、非正規型、また混乱型、破壊型と、トラディショナル、イリーガル、ディスラプティブ、カタス、ストロフィーですか、このような、まあ、4つの形態の脅威というのが、QDR でも示されてますけれども、まさにこの地域はこの4つの、こういうような脅威が併存してるなというふうに感じをしております。
The QDR said that there were four types of threats in East Asia. Traditional, irregular, disruptive, and catastrophic. I certainly feel that all four types do in fact coexist in East Asia.
特にヨーロッパの方ではその中でも冷戦型のその脅威というものがほとんどなくなったというような認識かもしれませんが、やはりこの地域はまだこの冷戦型の脅威の残滓は残っているというふうに思っております。
In Europe, it may be the case that traditional Cold War type threats are nearly gone, but that is not the case, I do not think, in East Asia.
でまあ、この地域どういうふうに安定化させるかというふうに思ったときに、やはりこれから21世紀の世界というのは、その一人、自分の国、一国一国だけが独自にやっていくという時代は終わって、みんなで肩を合わせながら、この地域を手を取り合いながら、この地域を安定化していかなくて。低下していくかというのが、これが非常に大事なポイントだろうと思っています。
The question becomes how to stabilize the region. In the 21st century, it won't be a question of each country going it alone. What will be terribly important is for countries to work side by side, hand in hand, to stabilize together.
で、やはりもちろん脅威が顕在化してからの対処というものはもちろんあるわけですが、なるべくこういうのが脅威が顕在化しないような形で、抑え込むということが大事だろうと思います。まあ、そういう中で例えば北朝鮮の情勢についてはよく言われているように対話と圧力、まさに対話と圧力、こういうのが大事なんだろうと思っております。
In some cases, it will be necessary to take action once threats have become imminent. However, as much as possible,It is desirable to try to stave off threats before that. In the case of the North Korean situation, for example, there is talk of dialogue and pressure. That is exactly what is needed.
Let me ask Secretary Armitage. 8 years ago, Secretary Armitage and working with Joe Nye and a group of others authored.I thought one of the most important white papers that we've had in recent history, where it looked at how the United States should encourage Japan to evolve. And I would be interested, Rich, how you see, just looking back, how do you feel we've done with the guidance that you offered at that time? And then I would like to use that to introduce a question I'd like to follow up with Admiral Saito.
Well, thank you, John, Admiral. I think if you scored the Nye Armitage paper of the year 2000,you'd probably give it a B plus or so, but not because Joe and I wrote it, but because this was something that our Japanese friends at the time were already discussing. We felt this was a good thing to do in a bipartisan way to give our Japanese friends cover. To give our Japanese friends cover, if you will, to make these important changes. And I was once heavily criticized in Japan for saying thatThe decision process was glacial, and I came under heavy media criticism for that. And I later had a chance to explain my comments. I said that, well, although I said decision-making was glacial, if you look at a glacier and then turn away for a time, you do notice movement. But not only does it move, but it moves all the obstacles out of the way. That got me off the hook, but the point I'm trying to make is that this was a direction that many in Japan felt they needed to go, and we simply documented. So I think our Japanese friends have done quite well.
Well, Admiral Saito, in your answer, you said that the key objective is to stabilize the region and to work collaboratively. And in many ways, I think that was what the Nye-Armitage report was saying as well. I'd like to take that question and ask your sense about North Korea. North Korea has done very provocative things over the last 8 to 10 years. And I'd like, first of all, Admiral, your view on North Korea. How do you assess the security risk posed by North Korea? What's Japanese perspective on that?
端的に言いますと、やはりノースコリアの一番、あれは核とミサイルの保有であるというふうに私は思っております。で、やはり非常に日本は朝鮮半島と近い位置関係にありますから、多分ワシントンで感じられるような脅威感とは全然我々の持つ脅威感というのは 極めて違うんだと。そういう意味で我々は今日米で協力して、例えば弾道ミサイル防衛のようなものも一生懸命配備、共同で配備するということをやってるわけであります。The
greatest threat coming from North Korea is their nuclear and missile capability. Japan is very close to the Korean Peninsula, and therefore the feeling of threat that we have is no doubt very different than that you might feel in Washington, which is why that we are actively engaged, for example, in the U.S.-Japan joint effort to deploy ballistic missile defense capability.
それでそういう中で、一つは我々に直接的なそういうミサイルの脅威であるのかっていうのと、もう一つは全世界的に見ると、これらの いわゆる大量破壊兵器の世界への拡散の問題というのは非常に世界を不安定化するという、全体で非常に大きな問題を持っていると思います。But
not only do we face a direct missile threat from North Korea, their activities are also a threat to the stability of the world in terms of proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, which is why that taken overall, this issue is so terribly important.
まあそういう中で我々としてはその PSIの、イニシアチブについて、いろいろ積極的に参加をし、去年も我々自衛隊が主催でのPSIの訓練を日本で実施したり、いろいろやっているところであります。少しでもこの拡散という問題を抑えれればということで、いろいろやっているところです。This
is why we have taken an active participation in PSI, hosting a PSI training event in Japan last year, in an attempt to contribute in any way that we can to facing this proliferation problem.
I'm going to ask a political question, but I know I don't ask political questions of admirals, and so I'm going to ask this of Secretary Armitage, and that is, we've had a change in government in Seoul. How do you see this changing the landscape in the six-party framework, Rich?
Clearly, as an unemployed Republican, I have full authority to speak on these matters. Well, clearly, the new government is going to be much more closely aligned with the U.S. and Japan, if their initial actions are any indicator. This morning's newspaper even said that there'd be conditions put on assistance and that South Korea would speak out against human rights abuses from North Korea. Secondarily, I believe that the new government in South Korea will be intent on more normalizing their relationship with Japan. John, if I may, we talk about change in the South Korean government, but there's an enormous, and I think one of the problems when we look at Asia, we generally focus on individual problems, whether it's proliferation from North Korea or whether China, something of that nature. But And you think about the change that's going on in Asia right now, I think it's relatively unprecedented. New South Korean government. You've got China hosting the Olympics and, I believe, displaying the beginnings of some buyer's remorse. You have a rather enormous change in Malaysia, given the parliamentary situation. New government in Thailand, new government in Taiwan. And you've had a change in Russia, which we don't always think about as a Pacific nation. But I would say they, like the United States, realize that the whole center of gravity of the world has shifted to Asia. And so I predict that Admiral Saito and his colleagues in the self-defense forces and our colleagues in uniform are going to find themselves much more involved with the Russian Federation. Now, I'm not suggesting it has to be negative, but it's just going to be much more involvement in Asia than has been the case in the past.
Admiral, I know that you recently visited China, and of course there is such flux and change in Asia. The relationship between China and Japan has been uneven in recent years. Tell me about your visit. What are your impressions from your visit to China?
2月ですかね。2月に私はチェンビンド総参謀長、中国の総参謀長の招待で中国の方、ベイジンと上海の方へ行ってまいりました。 で、これは今まで日本と中国のいろんな政治的なよく経済は熱いけれども政治は冷えているというようなそういうような状態でありましたけれども政治面においても中国と日本との関係が少し良くなってきた。そういうことによって今回私は行ってきたわけですが、8年、今まで過去8年前に 私のポジションが行ったことがありますけど、それ以来ずっと交流が途絶えてありましたが、今度行くことになりました。
It has been said until recently that relations between Japan and China went very well economically, but not so much politically. Due to an improvement in our political relations, I was able to go. My predecessor 8 years ago visited, but since that time there have been no exchanges.
それで、昨年は中国の艦艇、深センという船ですが、艦船が東京の方に初めてポートビジットをやりました。
Last year there was an important visit of the Chinese vessel, Shinsen, and this was a first.
それで今回参謀長と会談しまして、 いろいろとハイレベルの交流、それから中間レベルの交流、いろんなレベルでの交流を促進していきましょうということで、おおむね合意は見たと思っております。
In my conversations with the Chinese Chief of Defense, we were able to come to a broad agreement on promoting high-level and mid-level exchanges.
やはり お互いに顔とフェイストゥフェイスで話すということがやっぱり非常に大事だなというのを今回痛切に感じました。やはりいろいろ書物で読むんではなくて直接トップ同士がこうミリタリーのトップ同士が話すということの重要性というのを非常に強く感じました。
まあこういうことを通じて、相互の信頼関係を高め、そして透明性ですか、お互いに透明性を高めていくというのが大事だろうと思っております。 And I feel that it will be important for us to improve our relations of trust, and also for us to improve our mutual transparency.
ただもう一つここで重要なのは やはりこういう信頼関係、信頼情勢という友好関係を作るということと、やはり我々はミリタリーとしてこの周辺海域、周辺空海域での常に警戒監視というんですか、そういう活動を通じて、きちっと注意深く見守っていかなくてはいけない。まあこうなんていうんですかね、こうなんのそのバランスをきちっと取っていかなくてはならないんだろうと。
And while I felt that it was important for us to build confidence and to pursue our friendship, I felt at the same time that we should remain cautious and alert about the sea areas around us. I felt that a balance between the two was necessary.
So, prudent hedging. Secretary Armitage, let me ask you, when the North Koreans detonated their nuclear device, just by accident. I happened to be in Beijing that day, and it was very clear that the Chinese were really angry about that. And they were quite motivated for a time to help deal with this problem. I sense that energy and motivation has dissipated. How do you read this situation? And let's tie together this North Korea-China axis just a little bit.
I completely agree with you concerning the anger, the surprise and anger of the Chinese leadership at the detonation in North Korea, particularly as some of the Chinese visitors had been told just days before the detonation that, of course, this would not happen. I am of the opinion now that China, I've expressed some, perhaps the beginning of buyer's remorse in the Olympics, but they're stuck where they are. So they desire stability, I believe, more than anything else. And they like being sort of at the head of the table in the six power talks and to be sort of an organizer of it, but there are very real limits to how far they'll push the North Koreans, I believe, particularly till after the Olympics. And finally, and this is somewhat contentious, I am coming to the view that the Chinese actually could live with the nuclear North Korea. That's not desired. They don't like it, but I believe they think they could live with it. And it gets back to the tremendous need for stability and the tremendous problems facing the leadership of China, from everything from infrastructure to distribution of wealth and corruption. So they just don't need another major problem. So I think there's a real limit to how far they'll push North Korea.
Admiral Saito, let me go back to this very interesting comment you made when you talked about the primary focus that you have right now is to ensure stability in the region. And I'd like to ask you, how do you feel about the current state of U.S.-Japanese defense cooperation? Is it meeting your needs? Are there areas that you would like to develop more strongly? Give us your sense on how we're working together as allies in the defense field.
今、日米間で一番大きな問題として日本で、米軍の再編問題。
あ、ごめんなさい。米軍の再編問題があります。で、これはまさに、抑止を維持しつつ負担を軽減するというのが一つの具体文句にはなっております。
The biggest issue between the U.S. and Japan now is the realignment of U.S. forces. And saying is that deterrence ought to be maintained while the burden is reduced.
ただ、我々のミリタリーの目から見た場合に、これの持つ大きな意味を私は一つ感じております。それは、海軍と海上自衛隊は横須賀で非常に今昔から非常にクローズコーディネーションを横須賀という横須賀で分かりますかね横須賀という七艦隊と海上自衛隊一緒になってずっと今までクローズコーポレーションやってきてます
But for the military this is very significant for a reasonAnd the U.S. Navy and Maritime Self-Defense Forces have had close coordination for a very long time in Yokosuka between the 7th Fleet and the Maritime Self-Defense Forces.
それでもう一つ今度は日米再編のこの今計画の中で横田、東京のちょっと北の方にありますが横田に航空空軍のエア、米軍の空軍の基地がございます。そこに航空自衛隊のエアディフェンスセンターを横田に移してそこで一緒に、特に BMD 対象に対するヘッドクォーターを今作ることで考え今計画されています。
And in the realignment plans there is an item concerning the US Air Force base a bit to the west of Tokyo called Yokota in which there are plans to create a joint ballistic missile defense headquarters with the air self-defense forces putting an air defense center there under the ASDF.
それからもう一つ陸上自衛陸上コンポーネントから見ますとやはり東京の今度は南の方のエリアにキャンプザマというのがあります。そこに第一軍団の司令部が移転してくる。でそこに陸上自衛隊のヘッドクォーター一部中央即応集団という、まあ一部ヘッドクォーターとしてそこで一緒の、陸上作戦に対するコーディネーションができるようになる、まあ、そういうふうに陸海空このアライメこの米軍の再編というのは非常に陸海空のお互いのサービスが日米の関係で非常にこうクローズコーディネーションができるような体制になる非常にこれは私にとっては、いろんな意味で喜ばしいことだなというふうに思います。
And if you look at the ground component, there's a, an army base south of Tokyo called Kamzama, and the headquarters of I Corps is to move there, and there are also plans for a portion of a Central Readiness Force headquarters to move there, which means that the U.S. and Japan would be able to conduct close coordination in terms of ground operation. So I think that all of these changes are something to be quite pleased about in terms of the U.S. and Japan being able to have good coordination both on the ground, in the air, and at sea.
最後になりますけど、BMD に関して少しちょっと言っておきたいと思います。
And I'd like to add one more point about BMD.
12月に海上自衛隊のイージス艦の金剛というのがハワイ沖で SM-3 の発射試験に成功して見事、ターゲットをヒットするということができました。
In December, the Self-Defense Forces vessel Kongo, Aegis vessel, participated in a BMD test and using an SM-3had a wonderful success in hitting its target off Hawaii.
で、まあ、日米で共同で次の SM-3 のバージョンの共同訓練も共同開発もやっているところであります。まあ、こういうようなハードのアセットのことも大事なんですが、もう一つはこの BMD 非常にクリティカルな10分ぐらいで対処しなくてはいけないこういう大事なオペレーション、これに対して日米でいかに情報を早く共有するかというのも大事なことであります。で、この BMD をの共同のを進めることによって、その情報交換というのも非常に早くできるようになってくる。これも大事なことだろうと思っています。
The US and Japan are jointly developing the next version of the SM-3. But in addition to hardware, which is important, these assets are important.In the case of BMD, operations have to take place in the span of about 10 minutes. And so quick exchanges of information become terribly important as we move forward in BMD, which will, I hope, allow us to be able to share our information more quickly.
まあこういう付随的なこの情報の共有であるとか指揮統制の問題だとかこういうのもBMD というものをも一つの練習問、まあ、ある意味では練習問題としてこれは他に付随していろんな作戦においても、非常に
大事なことになっていくと思ってます。
So I see, in a sense, our BMD exercise as being a practice problem, if you will, that I hope will allow us to improve our capabilities in terms of information sharing, command and control in other areas.
Secretary Armitage, let me ask you on this question on Japan-U.S. defense cooperation. I'd like to get your thoughts as well on it.
Thank you, John. I completely agree with Admiral Saito regarding the uniformed activities on both sides. I think they go to work, both sides, every day, really intent on improving the relationship, and I salute that. My questions have to do with the political side of this relationship, because you need political leadership and political umbrella to accomplish all of these actions. It's no secret that Japan's Ministry of Defense has been involved in a lot of churn lately and some questions. There's a bit of political stagnation in Tokyo. We're not immune from it here. Our president is very weak. If the opinion polls are correct, we're involved in our great campaign, so we're not exerting much leadership. Secretary of State goes more than a year without going to Tokyo. I have never seen that. So we're not having sort of the political leadership on either side to accomplish some of the great things that need to be accomplished. I'll give you an exact example, John, something that's close to your heart. You've had a lot to do with smart power and whatnot. Here we are the two greatest soft powers. We're also the two greatest militaries in the Pacific in terms of our expertise. So we ought to be, at a political level, melding the soft and the hard power in a way to benefit the general public good of Asia, certainly, if not more broadly. So I think that the question is a little more difficult than just focusing on defense cooperation, because that's going well. The political side is somewhat lacking on both sides from my point of view.
Thank you. Thank you, Rich. Let me shift, if I could, to the Indian Ocean. As I mentioned when I first met Admiral Saito, it was when the government of Japan was still debating, was it going to go ahead and to recommit, you know, the Naval Self-Defense Forces to the refueling operation. That has happened. And I would welcome an update on this from Admiral Saito. How are you seeing it? How is it affecting your units? How is it affecting the morale, et cetera? It would be very useful to hear your thoughts.
ちょっとバックグラウンドを少し説明したいと思います。これらに対してもですね、はい、
Let me give you some background.
昨年防衛省に防衛庁から防衛省に名前が移行いたしました。でこれはまあ名前がこう防衛省に変わったわけですけれども、それと同時にそのいわゆる PKO であるとかそういう国際任務が自衛隊法の中で本来任務化され、今までは下の国土の防衛のではない下のランクに位置づけられてましたが、こういうミッションが本来任務化、国土の防衛と同じような位置づけに、法律が変わりました。
Last year, our defense agency became the Ministry of Defense. At the same timeThe legal status of the work that we do in terms of peacekeeping and internationally was put on the same footing as defense of our territory. Previously, it had been a secondary task.
で、これはどういう、やはり21世紀の世界の情勢が変わってきて、やはり自国の防衛のみではダメであって、国際の平和と安定が極めて大事だということ、そういう情勢認識のもとで、こういうミッションを本来任務化にしたというところであります。
This was done based on a recognition that in the 21st century it's no longer enough to defend your own country, but that one must contribute to international peace and stability.
でそういう意味で今現在航空自衛隊の C-130 を3機イラクの空輸支援の方に出しております。
This is why, for example, we have three C-130s of the Air Self-Defense Forces participating in transport support in Iraq.
で、まあ、3ヶ月半の中断期間がありましたが、幸いなことに法案がまた通りまして、インド洋での活動も再開することができました。
And although we had a suspension of 3.5 months, fortunately, thanks to a law, we have been able to resume our activities in the Indian Ocean.
で、まあ、ただし、この C-130 のディプロイメント、それからインド洋への展開というのは、この恒久法ではなくて、パーマネント、いわゆるテンポラリーな法律によって定められております。
Unfortunately, both of these deployments, the C-130s and to the Indian Ocean, are not based on a permanent law, but rather a temporary one.
まあ、そういうことで、まあ、ちょっと3点、この今後の展望ということで述べたいと思うんですが、1点は、やはり今、国内でいろいろ議論がされておりますが、このような国際 PKO じゃない、国際平和協力業務というものを今、一般法化、一般の法律にするため、するべきだという議論が一つはなされております。
There are three issues I'd like to mention in terms of perspectives toward the future. One is that there is various domestic discussion underway now about creating a general law governing international peace cooperation activities.
2番目はやはり我々と要員要請の問題であります。
The second has to do with how weTrain up our personnel.
で、陸上自衛隊がサマワで2年間のイラクでの活動を実施いたしましたけれども、やはり陸上自衛隊、今までいろんな災害派遣をやって経験を持っておりますが、国民の目線に立った活動ができるということ、非常にこれはいい効果を、イラクのサマワでの活動にもいい影響を与えたと思っております。
The Ground Self-Defense Forces were active in Samawa for 2 years. Their experience previously in responding to disasters and their visibility in front of the Japanese public, I believe, was helpful in Samawa.
ただ、やはりそれだけではなくて、きちっと我々としては要員、こういう国際平和協力活動に対する要員を要請するために、今 PKO センターというものを設立することで今考えておりますけれども、それからもう一つは今ネパールに5名の安民に参加させてますが、もちろんこれはネパールの軍事、武器監視要員として大事なんですが、また要員要請という意味でも今派遣をしているということであります。
5人の
5名、ネパールの武器監視要員。
But rather than relying on just that kind of experience, we are planning to create a PKO center for the purposes of training people to participate in international activities. And also, we have five arms monitors now in Nepal, and this kind of experience will also contribute to building up our experience.
最後になりますけれども、3番目として、やはり装備ということを考えますと、輸送能力というものをやはり向上していかなくてはいけないんだろうというふうに思っています。
And then my last point, it has to do with equipment, but I think that we need to reinforce our transport capability.
ただし、これは一国だけで全部すべてのそういうトランスポーテーション能力を維持するということは到底できません。まさに周辺いろんな国と協力し合いながら、自分の得意な部分、それから得意でない部分、お互いに相互補完し合うというのが、これが非常にこれから大事なことだと思います。
But no one country can have all necessary transport capability. It's necessary for one to cooperate with countries around you, and for countries which are good at one particular thing to do what they do best, and for various complementary capabilities to be.To happen in parallel.
Secretary Armitage, this a bit speaks to that question of becoming a smart power, you know, not just a you know, how do you feel, how would you build on this? What would be your thoughts on it?
If I may, I'll try to answer that, but I want to make a comment particularly to the mass media from Japan about the Indian Ocean redeployment. Once the decision was taken to redeploy into the Indian Ocean, I think almost everyone in Washington who has any interest in things Japanese was asked, how does the United States feel about it? Does the United States appreciate it? Is this welcome in the United States? It's the wrong question. This is about Japan and about how Japan sees herself in the world and her role in the world, and how Japan sees herself in support of Pakistan and other international contributors who are involved in the region. And what this says about Japan's willingness to take on meaningful roles in the region. So this is just a comment to our friends in the mass media. I think you were a little off the mark by saying, does the United States appreciate it? This is about Japan and a statement about what Japan may or may not do in the world. John, on the question of how to build on smart power, I like very much the PKO decisions, and I'm intrigued by what you're really talking about, a larger division of roles and missions in terms of transportation. The last time we really had a good roles and mission discussion in the U.S. and Japan was 1981, when we talked about the sea lanes out to 1,000 miles, et cetera. Japan is in doing their national defense program outline studies and all of these things. This is the kind of thing that the U.S. at a political level as well as a uniform level ought to be talking with Japan about and deciding how we can both learn from our tsunami experiences and cooperate going forward. We're obviously the two largest and best technological powers. There are all kinds of opportunities, whether it's in the environment regarding China or more broadly in Asia, for us to cooperate. But I think the most important thing, the U.S. and Japan, is to have some confidence in the value of our ideas and the value of our national characteristics and values in defense of human freedoms and human rights and things of that nature. So there's a lot to build on if there's a political will on both sides to do it.
I would like to just echo what Secretary Armitage said about the right question was the Indian Ocean deployment good for Japan? And that's absolutely right. But I'd also like to say America did appreciate it. We did appreciate it. Let me, Admiral, we spoke just very briefly when we met before about reorganization within the ministry. And I know that nothing is harder than reorganizing big bureaucracies. We've been involved with it. Tell me, what are your goals? How are you thinking about this? What would you like to see happen through this reorganization?
これにつきましてはですね、2年、まず最初に我々のジョイントの立場からちょっとそれから話をしたいと思います。これ2年前に我々、本格的な統合運用というものが始まりました。ちょうど2年前ですね。
First, let me talk a bit about our joint posture. 2 years ago, we initiated a full-fledged joint operation.
で、これは陸海空、もちろん皆さん知ってますよ。陸海空、これを束ねるためのヘッドクォーターを強化するということで、私は、その2年私のポジションは2年前にはチェアマンという名称でありましたけれども、今ジョイントスタッフという名前に変わり、オペレーションに関しては陸海空を全部コントロールする今責任を持っております。
And by joint operation, I mean that we strengthen the headquarters that controls operations for the ground, maritime, and air self-defense forces. And my position used to be called chairman. Now it's joint staff.And this position controls operations for all three services.
まあそのおかげで私のレジデントというか住んでいるところはヘッドクォーターから5分で歩いて5分のところで今住んでおりまして、なかなかゴルフに行くチャンスもあります。
My residence is only 5 minutes on foot from the headquarters. I never get a chance to play golf.
まあそういうことで若干統合というのはうまくいくこの最初うまくいくかっていうのは非常に心配しておりましたけども思ったよりうまく進んでいるというふうに見ております。
there were concerns about our ability to implement this joint operation. However, things have gone more smoothly than expected.
それで次にこの今防衛省をこうリオーガナイゼーションどういうふうにやってやるかという問題が今、国内で非常に大きな議論をなされております。
But there's also tremendous domestic debate now about reorganization of the defense ministry.
でそれは、今までユニフォームのな陸海空をジョイントするということまでできていましたけれども、今後そのユニフォームとシビリアンという関係をどうやって整理していくかということ、ここに今大きな問題の焦点が今まさにディスカッションをしております。まだ結論がどのようになるかというのはまだ見えておりませんので、まさに今いろいろとディベートをしているところだということであります。
That is, we have been able to implement joint operation of the ground, maritime, and air self-defense forces. But what the issue now is how to manage the relations between the uniformed side and the civilian side. And we are in the thick of discussion, and no one knows yet what the outcome will be.
Admiral, I'm going to shift to the questions I've received from the floor, and there's one that immediately follows on to this very question. And this question from one of our colleagues was, what are the major operational capabilities that you feel that the Japanese Self-Defense Force needs in order to promote jointness? Are there capabilities here that you would like to be acquiring that would promote your capacity?To operate jointly, and then also in combination with the United States. What would be on your mind in this regard?
その統合運用を、進める意味で、主要な運用上の能力として何が必要だというふうに思いますでしょうか。で、日本の国内の統合運用だけではなく、アメリカとの合同運用も考えている。
まさに、統合運用というのはもうアメリカの方はもう統合運用がずっと歴史が長くやっているわけですね。そうすると実際にこの太平洋地域のシアターでの私のカウンターパートとしては太平洋軍司令官今キーティング大将ですが彼が私のカウンターいわゆるオペレーションとしてはカウンターパートになるわけです。そういう意味で、我々サイドもジョイントにしなければ、US とのうまくこう共同の作戦というものもできないということで、いわゆる統合運用というのが非常に大事なことになってきているわけです。で、まあかなりの頻度で、太平洋軍司令官とは私はテレビ会議をやったり、電話でいろいろ情報交換をやりながら、やっているというところであります。
The U.S. has a much longer track record in terms of joint operation than we do. In the Pacific theater, my operational counterpart is PACOM Commander Keating. And it is true that in order for us to be able to conduct operations well with the United States, our side needs to become more joint. Therefore, we are fully seized of the importance of joint operations. And quite often, I have video conferences and telephone exchanges of information with PACOM Commander Keating.
それからもう一つ我々のジョイントのとしての一番今私自身がキーと思っているのは、C4Y 関係の今度初めてジョイントの舞台として C4YSC という、いわゆる自衛隊通信部隊通信をすべて陸海空の通信を束ねる部隊が初めてできました。これは非常に大事だろうと通信の部分をいかに束ねるかというのは大事な、とりあえずの課題だろうと思っています。
And one element that I can mention in terms of specifics is C4Y. We have been able to create our first joint unit, C4YSC, which bundles the communications for ground, maritime, and air forces. How you do that is of great importance.
Thank you. I have a question that was directed to Admiral Saito, but I'm going to actually ask both Admiral Saito and Secretary Armitage to address it, because I think it affects both of us, really. And the question is that there have been recent reports that China views that there is a line in the Pacific Ocean, that they control one side of the line and America controls the other side of the line. And I guess, Rich, let me start with you, because I think, and then I'll let Admiral Saito think a minute about his response when he wants to reply to this one.
From our point of view, I haven't actually heard that expressed. It's quite clear, however, that the emphasis that China has put on blue water capabilities could lead to that conclusion. I am not ready to reach that conclusion yet, because a need for blue water Navy on China's part could be more a function of her need to secure her lines of communication to petroleum and things of that nature. So I think the jury is well out of that. But let me be clear about one thing, that the United States is and does view ourselves as a Pacific power. If you didn't see Mr. McCain's speech yesterday, I think he made it quite clear. And further, that if there's a backbone to U.S. architecture and hopes in Asia, it is Japan.
あの非常にあの難しいこれについてあの質問なんですけれども、やはりいずれにしても先ほど言いましたように我々としては周辺海空海域ですね、ここでの警戒というものをきちっとやっておくということが一番大事なんだろうと思います。いろんな不測の事態にも対応できるような形で、きちっとモニターをし、なおかつ片方では信頼醸成という有効のチャンネルを作りつつ、片方ではきちっと維持する、このバランスがやはり一番大事だろうと思っています。
Well, you've given me a rather tough question. But as I said earlier, it will be important for us to be on the lookout in the air and sea areas surrounding us, and to be prepared to respond to any related situations. And so it will be important for us to both monitor that and also to go about creating channels for friendship through confidence building. We need a balance of both of those.
If I could, and forgive me, it's not the role of the moderator to offer substantive comments, but just in this regard, and I have not heard anyone from China say that quite that way. There's a line, we get half and you get the other half. I have not heard that said, but I think what we have seen is two visions for stability. And that's a division, that's a divide the world and we'll have stability that way. What Admiral Saito said in his opening statement was that he has a different vision for stability, which is the active cooperation of Japan as a military partner with the United States and other powers in the region. That's a different vision for stability, and I would argue it's a far superior vision for stability. We've reached the end of our time together. This has been a very useful, I want to say a special thank you, Admiral. I know this is not something that you sought to do. It's something that we needed, however, and we were very glad to have you here. And Secretary Armitage, thank you for being here today. You've added just the right amount of spice and vigor to the session. Colleagues, let's thank him with our applause. That was very
いろいろ疑問点だとかに対して、完全にクリアに答えれなかったところもあるかもしれません。それは私の 英語を英語を理解する能力の不足だというふうに思って申し訳ないと思いますけど、まあ、こういう機会を捉えていただきまして、少しでも今日本がいろいろ抱えている問題、それから我々はどう考えているかということが、皆様方はこのワシントン、特に東海岸の皆様方がご理解し、少しでもご理解してもらえれば幸いでございます。今日は時間を取っていただきまして、浜田さん、どうも本当にありがとうございました。
If I was unable to clear away all of your doubts, answer your questions fully, please just chalk it up to my inability to understand English perfectly. But if my participation here has contributed even a littleto the understanding of you here in Washington and of you here on the East Coast, of the problems that Japan faces and of what we are thinking, then it will have been worth my while. Thank you for your time, Dr. Hattie.